You're listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. Tonight, we talk about Bull Durham.
I like how when we do these Kevin Costner movies, you're like not going to name the director on these. You're like, you know, is it Kevin Costner or is it the director?
Who the fuck is Ron Shelton?
He directed your favorite movie, fucking Tin Cup, bro.
I know. He's got two.
So you don't want to call him out because we're doing both of his fucking movies?
When we do Tin Cup, he'll get the call out.
Oh. Wow. You no trouble. Me, fifth element.
You will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death, praying for war. But until that day, you are cute. Sound off like you got a pair.
Ah, yes! I was wondering what would break first. Your spirit or your money?
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
God is dead!
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch!
The city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament,
yes.
Mr. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
There's
fire and brimstone coming down from the sky. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Welcome to the podcast, Movie Crew Podcast, Movie Makers Talking Movies. We're your host. I am editor Brian Elkins. With me here tonight, cinematographer Jared Callen.
How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good, meat. How are you?
I'll be meat. That's fine. That's fine.
All right. So just for clarification, are pitchers only meat?
I think everybody's meat.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll talk about it. We also have with us director of photography, Mike Griggs.
Rose goes in the front there, big guy.
Oh, thank you. Oh, man.
Is that true, Kristen? Does the rose go in the front?
Where else would it go?
Okay.
In the back? I mean... All right, we also have with us costume designer Kristen Jones.
Hello.
So here we are talking about the 1988 rom-com baseball film, Bull Durham. Sure. It's got baseball in it, kind of.
All of philosophy is baseball, right? She's the church of baseball.
No baseball game, though. No, like, big win. No,
that's
rah,
cool.
Rah moment.
Lots
like
of montages.
That.
Montages are fun, especially in sports movies. But if you watch something like Ted Lasso, you know, it's like mostly story, but there's still a lot of the game in it. This movie's all story, very little game. There's little game moments, you know, all the fun baseball stuff, but no, like, we've got to get one more fucking, I don't know baseball. We got to get one more fucking run. And
you were about to say down,
game.
And I'm so
I was about
proud
to say down. Yeah, no, I was going to have the sports gods smite me.
Oh, no, I think we're in trouble. We're talking about a baseball movie. Nobody knows baseball. Anybody know baseball?
Yes.
I know what baseball is.
Christ. No, I grew up with baseball.
Okay, Mike, you're the expert for this movie.
Thank God.
Unfortunately.
You need a nickname, honey.
You know what? Everybody's been telling me that lately.
Wait, did you not have a baseball nickname, Mike?
No, I actually did not.
Oh.
I only played till I was like 12, and then I was finally able to abdicate for myself and say, I fucking hate this sport. Can I play literally anything else, please? And then I got to play soccer.
It's very European of you.
I mean, maybe.
Quitting the great American pastime?
God, it's so fucking boring, man. Oh, it's so
boring. Wait, I just had a flashback to last week's episode. Hold on.
No, baseball as a concept is fucking boring. As a sport, there's like 3 minutes of action in like 6 hours of sitting there. Like it's one of the worst things in that ratio.
But that's why they do all that extra shit, you know, like bum 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 bum.
Oh yeah,
they do all the shit, you know. They bring the kids out from the local art school to come and do some bullshit, you know.
I mean, listen, I have taken my kids to Wrigley Field, and my son has run the fucking bases. Like,
hey.
The act of going to the field is like a religious experience. I will give this movie that, because like there is something to the nostalgia and the timelessness of like walking into a fucking state and being like, the greats have played here, and people have been talking about this place my whole life, and blah 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 blah. That's not in this movie. This movie is fucking like minor league, like not even AAA ball. Like this is like the North Carolina League.
Yeah, but that's so the real ball players, you know?
But when she's fucking like opening this movie with her whole like philosophy of like how she just likes to get, you know, a different young dude to fuck her once a year, she's in the church of baseball.
Dude, it she's was not hard just fucking, for me she's to like training. She works on the mental side. And the coaches and everybody else work on the physical side. She gets them in the game.
One could contend that that is inverted. She works on the physical side. I need a man.
She did say she needed a man. Boys.
No, at the end, she says, I think I'm done with boys.
I'm not interested in any woman that's interested in that boy.
What? Wait, you just call me a boy?
You are a boy.
It is nice seeing Tim Robbins like super, super young.
Yeah, but he's only like 2 years younger than fucking Kevin Costner in this movie.
Maybe one, yeah.
Wait, really?
Yes,
yeah. Kevin Costner's born in 55, he's born in 57.
Oh, wow.
And unlike most movies, the woman is the elder, more experienced person here.
Yeah.
I think they were both around 30 and she was like 42.
That's amazing. I thought everyone was so much older than that.
I don't know if it's from like because when we were kids these people looked older and so now we just think that they're old in our brains, or
I mean that is exactly what it is in my brain. Like yeah. As I grew up, like this is what old people looked like. If these guys were 30 and fucking Steve Martin was 40, then like you know what I'm saying? Like like people today, I'm fucking 40. I have never felt like I've looked old like these guys look in this movie, and they're 10 years younger than me. Like there's something about like just the elder people that were put on screen in the late 80s and mid 90s, I guess.
The coach,
elder people.
The coach is also only like
that dude is at least 62.
Wait, the head coach that was in the dugout the entire time?
Yeah, the one that doesn't really do anything. He tells the other guy to go do it. He's like, get out there.
He wants to be nice, okay?
You guys are in here lollygagging. You know that guy.
Lollygagging. Of all the shit you can scream in a locker room. He's like, you bunch of lollygaggers. Yeah.
Do you know what that makes you? Lollygaggers?
Yeah. Right. Yes.
The only guy in the whole movie that keeps it PG.
Everyone else is like, fucking this fucking shit. Fuck.
Yep, dropping dick and pussy out in the movie at least two or three times in 1988.
I believe in the dick. I believe in the pussy.
I believe in the small of a woman's back. And good scotch. I don't even know what all that shit he says. Oh, that's a good speech. Good writing.
That's a hot speech, man. That gets you going.
Kristen being so
Kristen
quiet.
Almost said look something.
She
almost...
I was going to say that would have been a great speech if it was not delivered by Kevin Costner.
Oh, my God. Okay, out of all the times, Kristen, I was expecting you to be like, Kevin Costner's so hot in this movie. This
really?
Is the one. Yes.
Really? Why?
Really? Oh, that was a savage Kristen, really.
Because he's got the smolder.
I mean, I also thought, I was like, maybe this is the movie that made all the ladies be like, yes, Kevin Costner, I guess. I don't know.
When he goes on that little rant, she's like, what do you believe? And he goes into his little thing, you didn't swoon? You and like, damn.
No, I was like, that's a good speech. I would like someone else to be giving it. Yeah.
There's no hope for you, Kristen.
Okay, all right, let's talk casting real quick since this is Kevin Costner month. Who would you have replaced Kevin Costner in this movie?
You can't.
1988.
Literally anyone.
What? You have lost your mind.
A young Michael Keaton.
No, I think, I will say, even though I thought he was like 45, he does look very good in this. But and he's, you know, he does have his there's some sort of charm about him that doesn't really make sense because he's a terrible actor. But, you know, like, was I like, oh, he's like fantastic and he should be a heartthrob because of this? No, actually, I think this movie would have been better if it had Anybody else.
Okay, put any actor from the last 30 years at 40 in this movie. Who would you choose?
Kevin Kline.
Kevin Kline? In a baseball
player. I just watched French Kiss, sorry.
Oh, I love that movie. That's a great movie.
No, it's all right. It's a Lawrence
Kasdan
joint.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
It is.
It's a great movie.
It's like it's at the end of the Lawrence Kasdan spectrum of movies, though. Come on, let's
yeah. But Meg Ryan's beautiful, and Kevin Kline is on fucking point, and that's a great necklace. And all the vineyard scenes are amazing.
Don't let the fact that I'm not in love with Kevin Costner distract you here, Brian. Kevin Kline would be a great casting choice.
I have not understood him as like a great actor. The more that I've seen him in, the more I'm like, what the fuck do people like about him? Like,
I mean, he's attractive and he's like very non-threatening. Well, he's okay, and he's very non-threatening. And
okay, like disarming or non-threatening.
Non-threatening. And I was going to say he has good hair, but actually I don't think he has good hair in this.
No,
but like when he's like on a horse, he makes the hair work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's got horse hair.
Everyone looks better on a horse.
This is true. He looks good on a horse, yeah.
No, not everybody, just Kevin Costner.
would you say he's cute, fucking mustache, you would look great on a horse.
Like a baby duck?
I don't want to be cute, Jared. I want to be, what was it? I forgot what it was.
Mysterious.
Mysterious, and what was the other thing? Exotic?
I don't know. Yeah.
Exotic.
I know. I think Kevin Costner's got like this nice like Midwest, like, you know, it's not South. Ooh, it's not California. Yes. It's this nice
Midwest is a good
Jimmy
word.
Jimmy Stewart
Midwest. He's very Midwestern. Yeah. That's correct. Yeah. He's so Midwestern. That's wonderful. That's a great word. Yes.
White bread.
Yeah.
Middle America.
Like you look at him and you're just like, yeah, there's a good American man.
There's a normal American person.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I mean by non-threatening. Exactly.
That's why he's the perfect serial killer actor, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he would be
nondescript
maybe.
White man.
He's done that once.
Was that Mr. Brooks?
Mr. Brooks.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be three of those and they only did one.
Shocking.
I don't know why they were saying that was really good.
It was actually pretty good. Yeah.
Unfortunately, he cast Dane Cook. Is that the comedian?
Oh God, yeah. he had a hot minute, and it was
he ruins everything
rough.
Except for Dan in real life.
That is accurate. That movie is too good to even be ruined by him.
That made sense, right?
No, it's perfect.
Even Mr. Cook couldn't fuck that one up.
Seriously, one of my top faves. Absolutely.
You guys shitting on Costner again, man. I don't know.
I'm not there. Sell me on him, like, because I just
amazing.
Don't understand the hype. Like, he's been around for my entire life, and the more that I see, the more I'm confused. Why?
I'm gonna liken him to Bill Pullman. He's a terrible actor, but there's something about him. You're like, yeah, okay, I can.
You ever seen Casper, Kristen, Bill Pullman? Come on, let's get it together.
Wait, what is happening right now?
Okay,
we have veered
way off topic.
We're going to Casper. What the hell happened? What the fuck? I would say it's like I don't know. Kevin Costner falls into the line of leading men that. Yes, they may not have the most interesting appeal about them, but they are like the everyman. You know, it's the same. I find him better than Tom Cruise. Like Tom Cruise always
as an everyman,
yeah,
or just as a leading actor.
Well, yeah,
well, both.
Yeah, Tom Cruise is too hot.
They both know. Do the same thing.
Well,
you're thinking about
Kevin
Tom
Costner.
You're thinking about
Kevin
Tom
Costner
Cruise.
Wishes he could do what Tom Cruise does.
Yeah, well, you're thinking about Tom Cruise since Mission Impossible, since 1996. But like, if you took Tom Cruise and or like, you know, I don't know, Kevin Costner in the 80s up until the 90s,
no, like,
they're
like
kind of interchangeable.
Away? No. Kevin Costner could never do Far and Away. I'm not a big Tom Cruise fan, but. He's
what are you talking about? How is Dances with Wolves and Far and Away that much further apart? Because one's from Ireland and the other one's like
no one's like what? A good actor and the other one's not.
Far and Away is not a good movie though. I'm not dying on
that. Okay,
hill.
I didn't say that. But I did say that Kevin Costner
could totally do that. What are you talking about? How many westerns?
I mean,
he
can show up and say everything exactly the way he does for every movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying. That's what Tom Cruise does, right? Have you ever seen Tom Cruise do something that's not Tom Cruise? That's what I'm
Interview
saying.
With the Vampire.
Tropic Thunder.
Also accurate, yeah.
Oh, Tropic Thunder? No, that's just him being goofy, though, with Ben Stiller. Is that him? That's him. That's the same shtick he would do on, like, the MTV Movie Awards or some shit like that. That's not acting. That's airplane acting. If that's different than, like, Liam Neeson is, you know, I don't know.
That's a fair point. Yeah. He's doing a character. He's not inhabiting a different person.
I don't know. Whatever. It's movie star personas. They're all interchangeable, except for Will Smith. Will Smith's actually got, you know, some real comedy chops. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right? He's got the jabs.
Okay, so you're still not convincing me that Kevin Costner is anything more than just a substitute for whoever else wasn't available.
You know, that's all you need, man. In a leading man of movies of the 80s and 90s, you don't want somebody that's going to come at you and challenge you. Think about a movie in the 80s and 90s where the lead actor was the person that was, like, really challenging you. Usually they're like a blank slate. We're just putting our emotion on. Everybody else in the movie is interesting, right?
Isn't the lead actor supposed to also be, like, the person that we're attracted to? Like...
Yeah, but they got to be safe because we have to be attracted to them, right? Because, like, you know, in the 80s and 90s, that's
right.
If you break the moral code, then I can't relate to him. That guy cheated on his wife. You know, like Michael Douglas. That's going a little far for the 80s, you know, in Fatal Attraction. Like, that's a little... Ooh.
Yeah, he's got a little sleaze to him, you know? He's not slick like Kevin Costner.
He deserves a little bit of what's happening to him.
I'm like, okay. Speaking of what an actor can bring to this. I mean, I'm also thinking of like Richard Gere in the 80s and '90s in Pretty Woman, where he acts more just in his walk when he walks to Julia Roberts to the elevator and he doesn't say anything. But that is sexier than Kevin Costner in this role.
You've lost your goddamn mind. What the fuck is going on right here? You're saying Richard Gere is not only a better actor, but is sexier than Kevin Costner?
Yeah, that sounds like an accurate statement.
What Richard Gere movie have you guys ever seen outside of Pretty Woman?
He doesn't have to talk. No, that's
every
the thing.
Every Richard Gere movie.
What? Have you seen American Gigolo? That is terrible. I'm going to make you guys watch that. You want to see something boring? Buckle up.
Oh, gosh. Sorry, guys. Unfortunately, I'm going to be out that week.
Hey, let's watch a movie about Richard Gere, you know, just going to bed with women. His problems are like, I can't pay the rent. I got to go be a man whore some more. Damn.
Oh, I fell over. Oh, I fell over again.
I'll be back when we lose.
Oof. I don't know about Richard Gere, guys.
That's okay. That's because you're sold on Kevin Costner. I appreciate that.
You know what? Good
I know
for
what
you.
I like.
Susan Sarandon likes it, and so do you. You know, it sounds like you're in good company.
Which, you know, I can't believe the studio wanted to pass on her. I think she's cute as fuck in this movie with
her
big eyes.
She's fucking fantastic in this, man.
I thought she was great, yeah.
Yeah, apparently she wasn't on the list. She wasn't a moneymaker.
Mm.
And so she took it upon her own self and dolled herself up and went to the studio offices and found each fucking guy and made her point and got on the list.
Like, made her point? Or?
No, she just walked in, sashayed around, knew all of her lines.
Fuck you, this is how it's going to be.
Oh, because they tried telling her she was too old and not sexy or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, they are full of shit because she was fantastic in this.
And they tried to get Anthony Michael Hall for the pitcher role that Tim Robbins played.
Didn't the director he threatened to quit if they wouldn't accept him?
Yeah, well, he went to go meet with... Anthony Michael Hall. Dude didn't read the script. And the director was like, all right, okay, you know what? We'll do this meeting tomorrow. I'll come back, read the script, and we'll go over it. Goes back next day, still didn't read the script. And the director was just like, fuck you. You don't want to be in this movie. I'm out.
Wow.
I mean, seriously.
Which I get it. I mean, like, you know, Anthony Michael Hall, how old was he then?
Still.
Seems like a...
Read the fucking script. That's literally actors, your job. Man. That's literally your fucking job. Read the fucking script.
Yeah, it's a two-hour movie.
Who are you, like, Brando?
What's it going to take you 3 hours to read it? Fuck off.
Can you just write my lines on the cue card over there? I got it. I'll make it look good. Well, I was watching something the other day where, like, Peter Jackson was talking about Sean Bean in Lord of the Rings. And, like, apparently...
Is he struggling?
Well, no, apparently they rewrote that speech. The whole, like, you can't do this, not with all the blah blah of Mordor. And, you know, that whole, like, where everybody's in the ring area. Whatever, but the fellowship where they have the fellowship, they all come together.
And my
in Rivendell.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go. Thank you. Anyway, where Sean Bean's looking down, they have the fucking lines. The script is in his lap, so every time he's looking down, he's reading the lines.
That's why he's got that quintessential, like what he's doing this, like he's like rubbing his brow and he's looking down. Because he's fucking reading.
But
he's,
man,
pulling a fucking Zod.
He's making it work. Pulling a Zod.
Wow.
You mean a Jor-El? Yeah. Marlon Brando was Superman's father.
Oh, he's Jor-El. My bad. Yeah. Sorry.
Terrence Stamp comes prepared, dude. He's British.
Let me loop that real quick. He's pulling a fucking Jor-El. All right, so you can drop that in.
So you said that.
And that's how it lives now.
Let's have a quick word of prayer.
See, this conversation is just like watching baseball. There's really not that much actual baseball that's happening. It's just all the things around it that we're talking about that becomes the fun part.
Well, baseball's like sex, you know. You just got to pay attention.
Not thinking about it, apparently.
And don't overthink it. And just be in the moment.
That's not terrible advice.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like baseball or not. I mean, I can't even watch a whole baseball game.
No, it's so boring. So, so boring.
Especially on TV. The only way to watch baseball is at a baseball park.
Yeah, because you get the hot dog and you get a beer and you do the thing
and
you're there
and
you're hanging out.
And you're catching balls, you know. That's a thing. So
catching the balls is a thing. You're right.
It is.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Go in my backyard right now and throw some balls around. Catch some balls.
Don't patronize me, Brian.
Don't patronize. This is what happens every time we talk about comedies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
No, we're not going like, oh my God, I love the joke when this happened, you know, and oh man, can you believe this? What I was actually surprised by watching this is how close it is to Major League.
Really?
Like Major League is like one of those straight ripoff. I never realized that. Even down to the guy doing voodoo and the hot shot, you know, pitcher, all the big beats are there. But Major League decides to actually like put in the whole, we're focusing on games. We're trying to win the season, you know. We're trying to get to the big game, kind of like Bad News Bears and all that.
I mean, I feel like that's most sports movies. Like, if there is a cliche in sports movies, it's that, like, the character's final progression is the culmination of winning or losing the outcome of whatever they're trying to do. And that, I have to say, was actually one of the more refreshing things about watching this, was that they didn't actually focus on those things. They didn't really care, because the sport itself was just a plot device to move most of the story along in most of the cases.
Yeah, but they still had all the standard baseball cliches, like the meeting at the mound, you know. But they show you the other side of it, how it's just fucking ridiculous. We're not talking about baseball at all. We're talking about fucking wedding gifts.
What should we get for what?
Yeah.
Check his registry.
So all the standard shit's there. It's just not, we're not like living in the heat of the game. This is like a lot more internal. I love all the inner monologue stuff at the beginning where we're in Kevin Costner's head, you know, and he's like,
yeah,
come on,
that,
meat.
That fucking threw me off when it first came on. I was like, I hate this. What the fuck is going on? This is so stupid. Like, why did we switch to the handheld when he's walking out to go bat? Like, why are we changing these things?
And then baseball's internal.
Well, yeah, as it went on, I was like, oh, I'm fucking in it. Like, everybody gets a voiceover when things are kind of crazy and they're thinking about stuff. That's when we go handheld. I was like, all right, it's actually like some reasonably well thought out kind of moments.
And I do like Tim Robbins still got to mutter to himself. He can't have internal dialogue.
No, he only has a couple times with their internal dialogue. Most of it's him talking to himself. I fucking love that.
Kevin Costner ends up hearing him and turns back and he's got a response for him.
I want to bring the heat. Oh. Why does he keep shaking? No.
No, those two have really good chemistry on the screen. Yeah, they were really funny. I didn't. I was impressed for a comedy too. I don't know if they were sunrise or sunset shots, but you know, all the magic hour shots, like when they're leaving on the bus, and or is it when they're coming back? I forget. I think it's when they're leaving. But
almost every time, yeah. I think there was definitely when they were leaving at the 5-6 a.m. whenever, when she comes to see him off.
That looked
and
real
apparently
good.
Every other spouse did too at 6 a.m.
Well, that's what your, you know, baseball wife does. She comes and sees you off at the.
Baseball wives. There was that one single shot of the players' wives seating thing, and there was like one seat like really prominently empty, and I was like, oh, are they gonna do something with this later? No, it's just a single
shot. No, we never
see
it again.
Never see it again. Never becomes a thing. We're not like looking at other players' wives. It's like, okay, cool. Why did we see that? They said go get B-roll, and that's what they got.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in the when they're in the ballparks, just cutting to random shit. But I mean, whatever. It sets up your atmosphere. And the ballparks were cool. I liked the cow that you hit and you got a free steak. with your home run.
That was great.
That was good.
He creamed that one. Look, he's even getting a free steak.
Getting a free steak. It's got the smoke that comes out of the nostrils. It's so stupid.
See, you gotta make baseball interesting. You know, there's a little.
Gotta make baseball interesting.
Is that what that old man clown guy was? What did they call that guy?
Clown Prince of Baseball.
It's like spitting
himself in the fucking credits.
He's got an endless amount of shit to spit out of his mouth.
Dude, this gets gross. It was really gross.
It was crazy. He's spitting it up. He's like, dude, it's coming down on you.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. And then you could see it all over him like later.
It's so hot, it's man. He needed to cool off a little bit.
Oh, no.
It's like when elephants blow water all over their bodies.
It's like when elephants. That's exactly what it's like. Oh my gosh! You know what? Why don't we watch the trailer? We need to center ourselves.
We need to cool off a little bit.
I need to gather myself after laughing so much. We're gonna play the trailer for what is this? Ron Shelton's Bull Durham. We'll be right back.
What do you believe in then?
Well, I believe in the small of a woman's back, the hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last for 3 days. Oh, my. After 12 years in the minor leagues, I don't try out. Besides, I don't believe in quantum physics when it comes to matters of the heart.
Sometimes love can explain.
Have you ever been tied up to me?
Come on, fire one in here.
This is ridiculous. I'm a professional.
It still remains a mystery to me.
What? That's hot.
Why one surrenders and the other runs away? But it's true.
The rose goes in the front, big guy.
How dare you tell me to stay out of my bed? You are messing with my private life.
When a woman loves a man, a woman loves a man. She does what she can do. He does the best he can. When a woman loves a man, a woman loves a man. She does what she can do. He does the best he can. And I look into her eyes. When the world is out of hand, and I'm so happy.
When a woman loves a man,
when a woman loves a man,
a woman loves a man, a woman loves a man.
No moon to light, no nothing to guide me, but still I will find her. No moon tonight, there's nothing to guide me, but still I'll find a stand beside me. There's nothing everywhere, but still I'll find
standing beside,
standing beside me.
When a woman loves a man,
a woman loves a man, she does what she can.
All right, we're back. That was the trailer for Ron Shelton's Bull Durham.
That was like a long, like just montage of basically sex scenes, like the entire movie worth of the entire movie. Jesus.
I can't believe they gave away that Kevin Costner and fucking Susan Sarandon hook up. Like that's
yeah.
The end.
They didn't just give it away. They cross-cut that shit. That was like, look, she was like with a minute fucking of both of them. Yeah.
Yeah, and they gave away the toenail polish thing, all the things. I can't believe. Are you sure that's the trailer?
That was a steamy trailer with 1988. What?
That's the one MGM has on their website.
Shit. Okay, pause the podcast. Go watch this trailer just because you have to fucking see it. It is absolutely batshit crazy.
Yeah, no, that's the trailer. I got my IMDb up right now on Bull Durham, and that trailer is right now playing
that's
in the background.
Fucking wild. That to me solidifies that the only reason this movie is rated what it is because of the language. Because if all that stuff was fine in the trailer, then maybe in the '80s they weren't rating higher because of like sex or nudity, and that's just a thing that happened like in the late '90s.
There was no nudity in the trailer though. There was Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon puts her tongue on Kevin Costner's nipple.
Yeah, it's a dude nipple.
No, but male nipples are fine. Come on.
I know, it's fucking bullshit.
Those aren't real nipples, Mike.
Nipples are nipples. What, like, oh, there's hair on that one instead of more skin. What? Come on.
If you were sucking on that nipple as a baby and you pulled out a hair in your mouth, you would be freaked out. You'd be traumatized the rest of your life. You'd be in therapy.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
Hairy milk. All right, speaking of the milk. All right, guys, I don't know.
Speaking of the milk.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you'll know what I'm talking about in a second. Watching this movie, I just realized that I've never had like crazy sex where we're like tearing up the whole house, like we're knocking shit over, we're like pushing just everything up. You ever guys been fucking like that? Am I just like, or is that just movie sex?
That's just movie sex, bro. Well, also, okay, like, some of those candles,
Mike,
house,
I need to hear the story.
House would have been burnt down.
Oh, dude, yeah. I love that there's 1,000 candles. Like, let's see her. The au pair shows up to light all those candles.
Yeah. How much time did they take to fucking light all those candles before they got in?
That's like just that? Funny shit.
No, I love that part where, like, they roll onto the floor, and then she reaches her hand up to, like, what, find, like, a handhold. And then
grab something.
But, like, they show it, like, moving around, so she's, like, trying to find where to hold onto on that fucking like, little table, and then it's just the shot of...
Yes.
Like, what are they doing down there? Like, just shaking it like that. There's no movement that would happen that would make that do that. I don't... That's the least realistic part of the whole scene.
No, the most realistic thing is if when he broke that bowl, she was like, that was my grandmother's bowl. Like, when they go instantly into an argument, that would have been amazing.
Oh, when he tosses his fucking coffee cup perfectly into the sink, and then the shot continues after it was already like a 30-second winner, and then they start making out, and she's breaking shit. And
no, the only thing that's believable in that scene is like when they drop the milk. It's like, oh, yeah, that would have happened. Nothing else.
I think that's part of the comedy of it, honestly. It's not.
Yeah, it's a little over the top.
Passionate thing you should try at home.
The comedy is when it cuts back to her house and her house is still destroyed and she's like fucking trying to somewhat clean, but she finds a joint on the floor and she's like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Going back to the church of baseball.
Hell yeah.
Susan Sarandon's character is a little bit of a hippie in this, so, you know, that fits.
I mean, I fucking love her in this.
Yeah, she definitely has... She's got some far out there theories on some stuff.
Listen, and I want to hear every single one of them. But right now, I don't want to think about anything. Fuck.
What do you think? Like the voiceover means? Is she writing a book?
Oh, the opening voiceover that she starts with?
No, it keeps coming back to her.
Never see her write anything.
It's just from her point of view, no, I don't think she's writing a book.
It's just told like she's telling someone a story. You know.
She's telling us, the audience, the story.
Wait, that's why. That's all VO.
Just talking about herself. She's just like, this is who I am. Because you're watching the movie.
Well, she's supposed to be like a teacher or something. Maybe she's telling, she's teaching a class on that was love and baseball.
No. What? That was like a half offhanded reference of like, what do you actually do for a living? Which I was also wondering the entire fucking time. Because she's at every goddamn baseball game.
Also,
she's like, I'm a part-time teacher.
What the fuck are you wearing?
We're in Durham, North Carolina in 1980.
Which I thought was funny because she teaches at Alamance County, which is like an hour away. I was like, wait.
It's not a close place. But she only does it like twice a week, apparently.
Yeah, like, she'd have to because she's at the baseball games all day.
Is she independently wealthy or some shit? Like, I needed that answered at some point in this movie.
I don't know baseball. Is baseball during the summer, though?
Oh, is it?
I mean, it's.
I don't know.
It is. There you go. It just makes sense, guys.
Yeah, if she's a teacher, she would not be. Yeah.
Well, the World Series is in October-ish, right?
I think
or is that in January?
I want to say it's like
I have no fucking idea.
February
guys.
Or April-ish is the beginning of the season.
Oh.
And then it goes, until like August or September or something like that. So over the summer sounds correct, especially if it's a smaller like regional league that it would make sense that it's just, 25 weeks over the summer.
Yeah, because they're not going to get into any of the series. Like, they're not good.
Yeah.
It's not about that. It's the minor leagues are for training to get to the,
no,
the
but
big
it,
show.
Get to the show.
Get to the show.
It is about that in terms of time placement.
Now, you know, that's another thing. Like, not only do they not have the big game, the main characters leave the team before the season's even over. Holy fuck. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck about the actual team itself.
Poignant, like at the end when it cuts back and the coaches are just doing their shit that they always do, you know, and you know, one guy's reading. They're just stuck in that baseball hell. You're getting paid to associate with baseball. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they said that. They had that one line, you know, it's better than working at Sears, man.
Everybody watching it now is like, what the fuck is Sears?
I fucking worked at Sears. God damn.
Did you?
I did for like 6 months when I first started college. Sold lawnmowers and fucking like exercise equipment and shit. Yeah, it was weird.
Well, when he said, who dresses you? What do you think about her costumes, Kristen?
I loved them. I thought they were really great. She clearly has her own sense of style, and it's actually kind of hard to define, but it's like a little bit vintage with a little bit, like, it's very sophisticated, also sophisticated, but like also mixed with baseball, like, because she's also like the last one where she's wearing like this pencil skirt and cute little top, and she's wearing the baseball jacket over it, and she's carrying like a parasol like the rain, which doesn't make any sense, but like, sure, why not, let's do it, like, you know, I think it's fun. It's kind of lends to her whole philosophy of, I tried a little bit of everything and this is what I like, you know? Her clothes kind of reflect that. And I think that works really, really well here. I love how she gives him a garter.
Yeah. I love how his character is like, you know what? It's kind of sexy, actually. Like, there's a lot of sex positive stuff in this. I was really surprised for it being 1988. I did not expect that.
I actually was wondering if we were going to go down the route of like Challengers and if like the two dudes were going to hook up too. I was like, wow, how did I miss this movie?
There was a little bit of like, it's hot.
Yeah,
like,
there's
Kevin
a
Costner,
little bit
are you
attention,
saying
yeah.
that like.
Lots and of grab ass in this movie.
Well, there's the one part where Tim Robbins is literally like, I'm not queer. I'm not. Am I? And like the next shot or whatever is like.
Oh, and when he's like is playing baseball naked and he wakes up and Kevin Costner's like, yeah, I was there. I was like, wait, what was
yeah,
going
that's
on,
a weird,
guys?
That's a really weird scene.
Yeah, there's this a little bit of like, all right, you trying to do some subtext here, or you guys just don't realize that that's how it reads he's these
like,
days?
Like, no, it was weird. He's like, I was playing naked, and he's like, I know.
No, I think they knew that's how.
Well, no, he said
that
too.
Yeah.
No, I wrote it down. but he instantly says, "I know." Like he could like sense that he was playing naked.
Yeah, I also recall having that impression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think how the scene was supposed to work was like he was relating with him because we all have those dreams.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, of course.
No, he said that afterwards. Like they qualified it, but the first reaction,
the first one was
just
like, he was like, I know.
Huh, how?
Yeah, and it was delivered like that too.
A little like, because it's been a little, it's threatening to be spiritual and like kind of more meta in that sense, and it never quite gets there. The closest it gets is they all have VOs, and those one scenes when. It goes back and forth between Kevin Costner and what's his name? Tim Robbins. And they both have a VO in the same baseball game. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That's the closest it gets to that part of the level of meta that I expected it to go.
Oh, well, he was wearing garters and breathing out of his eyelids, bro. I mean, it was all there.
I loved all of it, honestly, because you get to like, okay, so like most people who play sports like this are superstitious and they do have weird beliefs. And I love seeing how you kind of get to that point.
Yeah, Chris, you never fuck with the winning streak. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the fuck it is. You can put anything on that, and you just like fucking believe in it, and it happens.
Oh, you're having sex, you don't stop. You're not having sex, then you don't start. Like you just
That's right.
it's the streak. It's whatever streak. You're doing.
I've been wearing these same socks for the last 12 games.
Like, oh, have a wash tub. Oh. Yeah, superstitious sports is. That's a level of cliche that they probably should have referenced in this movie.
What are you talking about? It's all over this movie.
All right, here's the cliches. Write them down. Write them down. Write them down, motherfucker!
Okay, so you guys remember the radio guy faking the plays?
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
That is a local radio broadcast. It's like a FM channel station kind of thing. I would
so they
assume.
Can't rebroadcast like the actual game, and so
maybe
they
it just
replicate
wasn't,
the game.
It seemed to me like they didn't have a broadcast of the game that they could get. Like, it's not like they could get like a live feed. Like, at best, whoever's doing it live is in that area, and it wouldn't transmit as far as they were. And
yeah,
so they just
very strange.
Well, they keep telling you, like how in the show, like, people carry your bags, you get all this other stuff, but these guys are, you know, they're minor, so they have nothing, you know? Like, even when, like...
You've been to the show, man?
The one time they show up to Kevin Costner's, like house, like, you realize he's, like, staying in, like, some, like, fucking, like, little tiny apartment complex full of, like, all the players, and he's got, like, a little tiny two-bedroom room, and that's what he lives in.
Yeah.
When Susan Sarandon comes
Welcome to my home. Do you not like to knock?
Yeah. It's so
she just
I guess they don't
in.
Have anything.
I like how he tells her to leave and she's like, well, I guess I can, you know, the Bulls are winning and I can't get laid, and she flips over the fucking thing and then she just sits down, she doesn't leave. He's like, what are you doing? I told you no, lady.
To be fair, I didn't really enjoy this dynamic where he puts up such a big fuss and, oh yeah, I told you no, like all this stuff. But no, he's just waiting for her to change her mind. He's like, I'm not going to compete. And he's like, but if you pick me, like, it's cool.
That's right.
It's cool.
It's all or nothing. not playing this double. I'm not a double hitter.
Oh, if that's a double entendre I can get behind.
I actually really liked the whole dynamic, kind of having a sports movie, but like, from a woman's point of view, like through this woman. I mean, I guess Kevin Costner kind of like does some stuff, but like really this movie is from her point of view and it's about like the way she sees all of this stuff happening. And I thought that was a really neat perspective. I don't know that I've ever really seen that before. And I think she does it really well too, considering I don't know anything about baseball. I do think that she knows way more about baseball, like her opening monologue, which I really enjoy. Yeah. And I had to go back and look at the script of it, though, because she starts talking about like baseball stuff and she totally lost me. And I was like, what am I watching here? Is it going to be like this the whole time?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I was actually a little bit triggered by it. I was like, oh, it's like a bunch of religious stuff and they're trying to apply it to baseball.
Oh, baseball's like she tried all religions though, you know, that's what's really cool. She's I also like that she's so into baseball that it's like part of her, and even after he's gone she's still going to baseball games, she's still doing her thing, you know.
Oh yeah,
her,
no
her
that,
life continues that, I love all of that stuff.
I love that they established that about her from the beginning, like she is there for the team and the sex, and the guy that she gets to like help train is just like a bonus, but regardless she's there for the love of the sport. And that is a consistency in her character that I really appreciate.
Well, and speaking of consistency, she can't commit to anything, including religion or a man. And so I really enjoyed how they kind of portrayed that. And they turned it into this lifestyle of hers. Like, it's not like she's just is like, oh, I can't commit and this is a problem. She's like, no, I can't commit and this is how I'm going to use it to fulfill my life. I thought it was super interesting the way they did all of that.
Even when she was like, I am in the context of the season, monogamous.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that part too. Yeah.
Well, the whole thing is two people ending their, you know, aging out of their baseball career.
I also really, really enjoyed it. When Kevin Costner shows up and he's like, well, I'm unemployed and fucked up my whole life. And she's like, great, I can fix you now. Come on. But they played it so, like, these characters, this is so well written. Like, you don't look at it as, like, these are two damaged people. You're just like, oh, yay, they can finally be together. I was rooting for them. But, like, you shouldn't.
No.
But also, like, yay, I'm happy they got together.
Well, when he comes back and he says, I think there's a manager job, is that, like, local? Is that a local place? They don't really say how far that is away.
Isn't that in Nashville?
He says where it is.
We don't know where that is.
Oh, it's 3 hours away.
Alamance County or something like that.
No, okay. it's 3 hours away from where they
Okay, so that because she starts to well up and but she's happy. So in my brain, I go, so that must be local.
It's not. I wouldn't call that local,
but that's still close enough. You know,
it's close enough. Yeah.
Yeah,
I just assumed that they would move.
Yeah,
I also commitment issues. That. Did you miss that part of the movie? She's not going anywhere.
She doesn't have commitment issues. She's Wait, no, just that, a seven. She wants to try everything.
Yeah, what are you talking about? No, did you watch the movie?
She might like try her, marriage for like a year.
Her character arc, she's ready to grow up. Come on.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honey, we all deserve to wear white.
But do you think, oh, I love that character, by the way.
Oh,
the daughter.
Man, she's trying it.
I thought that was her daughter at first. Yeah, and then she ends up with like the Christian guy.
The most Christian dude, yeah.
Of course, yeah. Of course she did. I thought that was
so
great.
That poor bastard, when he finally fucking snaps out of it later, he's going to be broken.
Please. I see these people on social media all the time. He's in love. He's not going anywhere.
Yep.
Mm. Oh, yeah, but I thought that was Susan Sarandon's daughter. I was really confused.
She's like training her to be a hoa?
Kind of. It's kind of what I thought, yeah.
Hey, no, actually, I love that. I love when she's like, now say it with me. I did not get lowered. I accept full responsibility for my actions.
Oh, that was great.
Lured.
Too.
Yeah, lured.
Oh, yeah, because it did take me a while to figure out what she was saying. I kind of struggled with these accents. Have I just been in France too long?
Yeah.
Okay, it was,
you did not get lured.
No.
Women are too strong and powerful for that.
Most of the side characters had a pretty solid North Carolina accent. All the main characters were like laying it on fucking thick, and it was that was honestly one of the more difficult parts of the movie for me. It was like, oh, fucking baseball, and everyone has a Southern accent. Ugh.
Yeah, Susan Sarandon was laying on a super thick Southern accent.
So thick.
Yeah. William Blake. William Blake.
Are we gonna fuck?
Are we gonna fuck or what? Like, what's happening?
Excuse me.
Oh, I love that. He's like, excuse me, are we gonna fuck?
I love that she told us as the audience that that's what was gonna happen in the first place. Like,
yeah, it's a good setup and then a nice payoff. And I like that when we see her with Crash Davis, she's tied up. It's the other way around. It's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I like that stuff.
Again, there's a lot of like sex positive things in here with like power dynamics and consent and the ways that they're actually like talking and communicating about what they want and where they're at. I was really impressed. Like, you could have told me this came out this fucking year and I was like, holy shit, what? Like, I didn't know that these kinds of things were in a mainstream sort of movie back then.
Yeah, it was actually really refreshing to see not only sex on screen, but like, yes, this is a very sex positive movie. It was really nice to see that also.
I did like that oneer when they were on the field and she sends the note down to Crash. And the whole, like, you watch the fucking kid walking the entire time. Like, that was such a great shot. And then, like, he stands there and he writes the note, and you definitely can read the word fuck.
Yeah,
and then he hands it back to the kid, and then it goes all. It's like a 45 second shot, and he wants to make love to you. Oh, that's so sweet.
So great.
But
it's crass, so perfect.
Crass, make love to you. Yes. Crass. Yeah, this is actually a really funny. I was not expecting this to be a funny movie. I was not actually expecting to enjoy this at all. As soon as I saw the words baseball, I was like, oh no. But actually, it's really enjoyable. And another costume note that I really enjoyed was all of the side characters have the best, like, local costumes there. And even one guy who's just so dirty. The guy, we already talked about him spitting the tobacco up in the air.
The clown prince.
Yes, his costume was great. That was amazing.
Yeah, he looked like a cartoon character.
Like, I wonder
if he
just have that. He probably had that.
I think he like comes with the stadium. Like,
yeah,
he's just a crazy person that lives.
He's a guy that's there, and they were like, you know what, you're fucking perfect. Let's put you in the movie.
I don't know that someone who is designing for like a movie would have the time to sit and source something like that, or to.
He's
like,
probably a real character.
I think so. I really enjoyed all of the costumes in this, all of it. I mean, even down to like when he plays baseball in his underwear, that looked fucking great.
He's all oiled up and sweating.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, it's incredible.
What about money? Was this a hit, Brian?
Yeah, this was a big hit. Budget of $9 million, made $50.9 million in the United States alone.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Don't have worldwide numbers.
People went to go see it, like, based on the trailer, because were they expecting softcore porn, or, like, did they know that it was, like, a comedy?
Well, it was not a big hit when it came out. It opened up with less than $5 million opening weekend, but its second and third weekend actually went up in the box office. And then started dropping after its third or fourth. Yeah.
Yeah. So like the first people, the first weekend who were like going to watch a porno were like, man, I just got a funny movie about baseball. And then everyone went to go see it.
I heard an interview with the director and he said that when he was gearing up to do this, when there were like three or four other baseball movies in production.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
The baseball was a big thing at this time.
What other movies came out around the same time with baseball?
Oh, I can't answer that.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to put it in perspective, but okay.
I don't know if they came out, you know. I don't know if that was the...
They're just in production.
Kevin Costner was in Field of Dreams next year, right after this.
I was going to say, what, that was more after baseball. This?
Oh, wow. I'm pretty sure it was after this. Let me go check.
He didn't do that one first.
That's cool. He does really interesting baseball movies, movies that aren't just about, you know, it's baseball. Yeah. Baseball is the backdrop, but it's not about that. That's kind of cool. Field of Dreams is really great.
I agree with what you just said. I actually, even though I do think that Kevin Costner is a really bad actor, I think he has to have some very, he's clearly some sort of artist and can, because he picks such good movies and based on what he did last week, the script was bad, but everything else was brilliant. Like he has some sort of vision. Like he's clearly a creative person.
You just don't want to hear him talk.
Yeah, I don't want to hear him talk. This is correct.
Kristen,
correct.
You know, you throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball.
Yeah.
That's all there is.
Some would say that's a simple game.
Yeah.
It was the 18th highest grossing movie of the year, too. So
didn't it win? Wasn't it nominated for a bunch of awards also?
It was nominated for Best Screenplay at the Oscars. But yeah, it lost.
Really?
Yeah, it lost to Rain Man.
Oh, okay. Fucking fair. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, nominated for a screenplay feels
That movie
fair,
does not hold up. When's the last time you've seen that, Griggs?
At least 15 years. A really long time.
Yeah. Go back and watch that one again.
Yeah.
Oh.
We'll get to it.
I don't know. I don't think I need to ever see that again. I rewatched that about like 5 years ago and was just like, what the fuck? How did this win Oscars?
Cool. Well, I'll just skip watching it again and let it.
No. By that rating, you'll love it.
But the other movies that are nominated for screenplay were Big.
Oh, wow.
Same year, huh?
Yeah, okay. A Fish Called Wanda, which we've talked about on this podcast, and River Phoenix movie Running on Empty.
I'm not familiar with that one.
That's the one where, like, I forget what it is, but it's like his mom and dad, River Phoenix, he's got his parents do something. I forget what they do. Like, they, like, blow up... They're like eco-terrorists or some shit like that, and they blow something up, and they accidentally kill somebody, and then they're on the run, and then, you know, we fast forward 12 years later, River Phoenix is a teenager, and now he's having to deal with the fact that his parents are on the run, and he just wants to live a normal teenager life. Mm. Hence the title, Running on Empty. That's worth watching. But it's crazy. Like, I would much rather watch any of those other movies other than Rain Man.
Oh, man.
Holy shit.
Damn.
All right.
I'm going to agree with Brian. I haven't seen all of Rain Man, but I had someone telling me how great it was, and I turned it off after 20 minutes. I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. But I haven't seen the whole thing, so I don't know.
Well, it's that 80s synth, like, you know, in those sentimental moments. I don't know why, but that does not hold up for me at all.
No, I agree.
It feels hokey. Is that what it is? Yeah. It just feels cheap?
Yeah. And then having somebody like Lopner. Dustin Hoffman Lopner. Play somebody with, you know, mental disabilities, after fucking Tropic Thunder and like all those other movies, like, I just can't even take it seriously, man.
That is the scene that I think about the most when I think about Rain Man, honestly. Tropic Thunders.
356. It's like, all right, okay. You want an Oscar for this? For repeating numbers and shaking back and forth. Get the fuck out of my face. Yeah. Lifetime Achievement Award, Dustin Hoffman. I hope you liked it. Anybody got anything else?
Oh, another baseball game where we have diverted the conversation around to the... No, I don't.
All right. Who's going first? Who's rating? Bull Durham or Durham Bull. Zuh. With an S.
That is the name of their team. I'll go first. I'll start with the preface that I went into this movie not really expecting to enjoy it. I kind of fucking hate baseball. Like real talk, like, yeah, it's boring, it's whatever, and I'm not really loving Kevin Costner, but I was pleasantly surprised by how much I enjoyed this movie. I think the writing is pretty superb, and I totally didn't even realize it was nominated for an Oscar. So, like, that feels like validating the sense that I was picking up on. I really like the characters in this movie. Like, everybody feels well fleshed out and well rounded. Some of the scenes were constructed a little wonky. It felt a little bit more like, all right, well, let's get some B-roll of actual games and then get like the shots of the people while we don't have crowd. But there were also a lot of like moments where you see like background things happening while they're shooting from the mound, like from second base back towards home plate, and you see like crowd and stuff. And like, so that I see some moments where they clearly had like a lot of people in the stadium for some of the games. So for a movie that didn't take as much time as I expected it to care about the sport itself, like there was a lot of care put into like, just, well, we're at the ball field for the next 6 hours and we've got people in the stands, let's fucking, you know, put that on screen. So I appreciated some of those moments. I was originally going to rate this an 8 because it's a pretty solid outing that kind of does its job, but you guys have kind of talked me into a 9. I think this movie plays really well and holds up really, really well for having coming out in 1988. I kind of expected Susan Sarandon's character to be a little bit more like two-dimensional and a little bit more like handled with kid gloves or some other thing than it was, but she was like a full person with agency and needs and desires. And like, I liked the way that the characters said what they wanted on screen and like, you know, said, were like, okay, well, I don't want that. And that was a really enjoyable thing. Kevin Costner is fucking forgettable as hell in this movie. So if I'm going to rate it down for something, it's just, I don't fucking get the hype of this fucking guy. Like, okay, he's an everyman. Cool. Well, isn't the point of watching a movie sometimes to like see interesting things and interesting people and attractive people? Like, I don't know. I don't get the hype. Solid outing overall. I enjoyed it better than I thought it would. 9.
Well done.
All right. Who's going next?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, it feels out there. In a major way, you know, out there, like tubular and radical, but, you know, mostly out there. That's the way I feel about this movie. I'd never seen
that.
Yeah, yeah. Had to. That's how you give an interview right there, people. just really want to live up to make the ball club proud of me. But no, I'd never seen this movie before, and I'm not really a baseball person. The baseball movies that were really big in my life were Major League. And so watching this film and seeing all the parallels to Major League, I was like, holy shit, I kind of see where this comes from. And that made me love it even more. Unlike Mike, I actually love Kevin Costner. And this was really... this is really good, man. I don't really see where to ding it. It moves. I don't feel the pace on it. I love the era that it's in. Everybody's amazing. Fucking Susan Sarandon's so sexy and just like her big eyes. Oh my God, you can't love her big eyes. Oh, they're amazing. yeah, man. I don't really see a way to knock this movie. The needle drops are a little corny, but that's of the time, right? So I think it just kind of helps like leave it in that time. So yeah, this is a 10 to me, man. This is a movie that I'll revisit. This is a movie that I'll tell people to watch. If you like baseball, you're really going to love this because there's, you know, and if, I don't know, it's just a really good movie, man.
Wait, that was it? That was the end?
That's it. That's it, bro.
It's just a really good movie.
I like it. It's a really good movie.
All right. Okay. Sounds like a 10 to me. What the fuck?
Did you even give us a rating?
I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
He said 10, inexplicably.
Yeah, I don't know where to knock it.
All right, Kristen.
All right, so I agree. I think this is a really good movie, and it's not just I think it would help if you knew something about baseball, but if you don't, you can still follow along mostly. yeah, if I had to knock it, it would just be because, like, I don't know anything about baseball. You can't even knock Kevin Costner because, like, you already know what you're getting when he's in the movie, you know?
That's excellence.
Fine. Well, okay. And I think what I loved most about this movie in particular, besides the fact that it's funny and it's sexy, and it kind of gives you some philosophy to go along with all of that, is that these characters are so flawed, but you don't sit there, but their humanity shines through their flaws. Like, you don't sit there and think, I mean, I love to psychoanalyze characters. And like, for once, I actually didn't want to. I was just like, oh, look, they're doing dumb stuff. But like, you know, it kind of works. It does. It works really, really well. It's so well written. I was very impressed by it. And I was expecting absolutely nothing from this movie. So yeah, I'm gonna give it a 10 also.
All right. Two 10s and a 9. Yeah, I don't think I can ding it for anything either. I guess I'm going to have to give it a 10. It's a good script. It's funny. These motherfuckers are wrong. About Kevin Costner, the motherfucker's got charisma. Again, oozes out of his butthole. You know, he's on screen, he farts, and I'm like, that, you know, that's got to smell good. He's just got it. He's got the riz, man. You know, let's
the riz.
Let's just move on. I mean, damn, his hair even looked great in this. God damn. Come on. Disrespecting the man. Tim Robbins is great. Susan Sarandon's great. Yeah, everybody's good. Even Knox from Batman. It's like the assistant coach.
Dude, you're right. That was Knox from Batman.
Yeah. I forget that comedian's name. I have no idea. These are the only two movies I have ever seen him in. Maybe he's in more. And
is it Robert Wool?
But yeah, it's a great movie. It's, you know, put it on, watch it, laugh, think about some sexy times. You know? 10.
Shake that table. Splash them candles.
That was a fire hazard, all right? He was helping her out, okay? He's saving her house.
No shit.
Remember how he spent 20 minutes setting all these up?
Hey, man, somebody had to. Kevin Costner is at his funniest and most charismatic in Bull Durham, a film that's as wise about relationships as it is about minor league baseball. Rotten Tomatoes brings Bull Durham in with a 97% tomato meter and an 82% audience score.
Holy shit. Was there like 17 reviews on this movie or something?
There were 72 critic reviews and over 50,000 audience reviews.
Wow. It's a major league love story in a minor league town. Oh, look at that tagline.
Is that the... Did you just come up with that?
No, that's the tagline to the movie.
Oh, I was about to say, holy shit.
Did I just come up with
fucking
that?
Brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, where the fuck were you back then?
Listen, Don Draper.
Beating all the ad agencies away. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I need more money.
Wow.
Pay me the millions for my brilliant ideas. So with that, you've been listening to the Movie Crew Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do so by sending us an email to moviecrewpod@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Movie Crew Pod. Jared, where can the audience follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at CheckTheGate.
Griggs, where can they follow you?
I'm on Instagram at Griggsy Media. That's GRIGGSY Media.
And Kristen, where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at Kristen Magdalene. That's Kristen with a K and an I.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elkins Edits. And we're going to close out the show tonight. You know what? We're not going to do any of the soundtrack because the actual only piece of score that was used in this movie was this awesome, weird saxophone riff from the 80s during all the lovemaking.
Sexy sex.
So much sexy sex.
It's like 10 minutes long. We're not going to be playing that. You know what? We're going to play Crash Davis's amazing monologue so you guys can be left with the awesomeness of Kevin Costner, and you can just repeat with me, Kristen and Mike are insane, and we're going to get them on board. We're going to get them on board. Come join the Costner train. Enjoy.
So is somebody going to go to bed with somebody or what?
Honey, you are a regular nuclear meltdown. You better cool off. Well, where are you going?
After 12 years in the minor leagues, I don't try out. Besides, I don't believe in quantum physics when it comes to matters of the heart.
What do you believe in then?
Well, I believe in the soul. The cock, the pussy, the small of a woman's back, the hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, that the novels of Susan Sontag are self-indulgent, overrated crap. I believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter. I believe in the sweet spot, softcore pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days. Good night.
Oh, my.